Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
And this is part four of the Keegan Odyssey, where we look back at Kevin Keegan's 2018 autobiography, My Life as a Mouse, or something like that, was it? Yeah. The little mouse that could. We're still in his childhood, unfortunately. This is going to go on for months and months, I think.
We're still in his childhood, unfortunately. Welcome to the show, folks.
Listener numbers are dwindling as only the hardcore Keegan enthusiasts continue to listen. He speaks of suffering from a weak chest as a toddler. He had bronchitis and croup. I don't think they do croup anymore. Do they still do croup? Don't know.
Sounds a bit old-fashioned. I keep making the same point, really, but the more you hear about the obstacles that Kevin Keegan overcame in his life.
Yeah, it's the
and
greatest
the devotion
story ever told, isn't
he put to it all. Yeah. It's like it's today you will still get footballers who are from humble backgrounds who make it in football.
Yeah.
You do still get that, of course. But there's such a big scouting network that it's you're spotted so much quicker on the whole.
Yeah.
And you just quickly get fast tracked into you're in the system from the moment you fucking kick a ball.
16.
Yeah. You're in the fucking system. You're being driven to train in some outrageous training facility, which is like a luxury fucking 5-star spa hotel every day. There's no cleaning boots. You're getting massages. Do you know what I mean?
Are we seeing it's better now or worse now?
I'm just saying that it's
different.
You don't get people like Keegan anymore who have put the amount of commitment and effort into getting where they want to go. And
as we probably
football.
See in this episode, if we get around to doing all of it, we'll find out some of the stuff he went through. But hang on, the croup was a misdiagnosis, fortunately. But any chance of a career in football might have been dramatically ended one day at Hyde Park when one of my friends was showing off a newborn arrow.
Different times, weren't they?
Yeah, if you get a bow and arrow now, it's like it's got to be decorative, hasn't it? You've got to keep it on the wall. You're not allowed to take it out and play
with
it.
Hey, Dave's got a new bow and arrow, and he said that he's going to show off with it down the park later. Who's coming?
Nothing could possibly go wrong.
Can you imagine? Ma'am, I'm just going out. Ah, Dave's got a new bow and arrow he's showing off with at park.
Mind what you're doing.
My kid said that to me. Okay, you are not fucking setting foot out of the house. I'm actually calling the police.
He says he fired the bow and arrow into the air, and when I looked up to see where it had gone, I lost it in the clouds.
Uh-oh.
Shit. You just ducked, wouldn't you? Crouch, duck, cover.
Yeah. Not Keegan. I resolved to catch it in my teeth.
I still had my face turned to the sky as it came down, and it hit me just right beneath my eye.
Fucking hell.
Jesus Christ. I could have lost my eye if the impact had been a few millimetres higher, and it left a little black scar where part of the arrowhead had broken off beneath my skin.
Jesus Christ. This doesn't make sense in terms of if it had gone up that high into the clouds that he couldn't see it. By the time it came down, it would be travelling at such a velocity that even, I mean, people say, don't they, if you dropped a pea from the top of the Empire State Building,
it would kill a man.
It would kill a man. But this is an arrow. And it's coming down from the clouds. Now, Andy, neither of us are professional meteorologists.
Not yet.
But how high are the clouds?
Well, the height of clouds depends on type of cloud weather conditions.
I think they're regular.
Oh, 400 feet then.
Yeah, 400 feet. So it's gone up at 400 feet, otherwise known as cloud level.
I'll just Google it.
Then it's fucking tumbled down from that height. An arrow with an arrow head. And it has made impact with the young Kevin Keegan's face. And he's telling me that it can go straight through his fucking skull.
I just Googled
what
it.
What is it?
400 feet.
Is it? Yeah. Right, you're right. And it's gone straight through his fucking skull. That's what would have happened. No, but that's what... If it had gone that high, I'm not saying he's bullshitting, but if it had gone that high into the sky to clouds, cloudland,
yeah,
and then turned around
cloudland?
And fucking cloudland, yeah, and fucking tumbled down at such a velocity, it would have easily pierced the child's head.
Yeah.
Gone straight through.
But what has actually happened is the tip of it has impacted and gone under the skin, and that's all.
It's
and
like
nothing
he's
else.
It's like he really is Superman.
Yeah.
Like he's got a titanium skull.
Mm. So that's what he says. The arrowhead broken off under my skin. He said it was there for 20 years and I expected it to be forever until I moved to Germany to play for Hamburg. different level altogether.
Where they had the best arrow face doctors in the world.
Well, this is what he says. He invited one of the neighbours around. It turned out he was a cosmetic surgeon.
Oh.
And he arranged to have the little flecks from that arrowhead removed.
20 years it had been in there, like a time capsule.
So the body ejects foreign bodies, doesn't it?
It tries
that?
To. Yeah.
If you've got a little bit of broken glass under your skin, it
will eventually
push it out.
It'll try.
The
but
body is a marvellous thing.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a self-healing mechanism.
It is self-defending.
Mm.
So yeah, his next door neighbour turned out to be a cosmetic surgeon. You'll never guess what. Horst from next door. From
you
number
know
five.
Horsts from next door. From the Ausenblarken family. You know the Ausenblarkens? Well, Horst, the dad of the family, he's going to take the arrow piece out of my eye.
Horst, the man.
You know the man one?
The man one.
The man one.
The man one that drives the car. You must have seen him. He's some kind of surgeon.
I've been round his garage and he says he's going to take the arrow out of my eye. No charge.
I have to have a special drink first. It'll put me to sleep. I'm sure it'll be fine.
I told him, Dunkershan, don't mind if I do. This is it.
So, after that, there's a significant development in KK's footballing career. He says, another time, Dad came home from the pub to announce he had been drinking.
Good I've been drinking.
He'd been drinking with someone who had a contact at Doncaster Rovers.
Oh, fucking hell.
I've been drinking with someone who's got a contact at Doncaster Rovers. And I've fixed up a trial for you, Kevin.
Oh, God.
All I had to do was turn up at Bellevue at 6:30 the following evening and my name would be down. Go looking smart, he said.
A top hat and tails, I think.
Yeah. I shined my shoes as shiny as they could be and I went down to Bellevue 6:30 the next evening on the dot. It was my schoolboy dream to play for Doncaster, but when I turned up, the place was deserted.
Oh.
So, I mean, you know,
there wouldn't be a trial at Stadium anyway. That's the first. This fucking pub bullshitter in Doncaster.
That's what I think.
Oh, I couldn't help but overhear. Your son is a keen footballer. Yeah. Well, I tell you what. Buy us a whiskey, and I'll tell you how I can get him banging at Donny.
I've got a mate, Donny, and if you... Yeah, I'll have a pint as well. Don't mind if I do. The whiskey can be a chaser. Yeah, and... yeah, I've got a mate. They do trials every Tuesday. Yeah. You just got to go down
where,
at 6.
Where do they do it? Well, where do you bloody hell think?
At the football stadium. On the pitch. Just get yourself down 6. Get him dressed up smart, top hat and tails.
Yeah, put on his full Sunday best. Wear a tie or they won't let him in.
And send him down there and, you know, it'll be all
good. Mention me.
Yeah. Roy. Ron.
My name's Ronnie Footballs. And I'll have a packet of peanuts while you're at it, please. My name, yeah, is Top Soccer Talent Spotter.
Sister Mary.
My name's Sister Mary. He came home one day to say that he'd been drinking in the pub with a mysterious nun.
And he says, apparently all the other boys had arrived much earlier and gone off somewhere for the trials.
Yeah. Oh, they must have got here early. That'll be it.
It might have been 6:00 on a Tuesday. I think Thursdays might be 6:30.
Oh, sorry, I got muddled up. Sometimes they go home early because sometimes the trial goes really, really well and the man in charge, he just says, right, good news, everyone. We're taking you all on.
Yeah, we're going to start a new team.
Let's go for sweets. As a special reward to celebrate your professional footballer contract, we're all going to the sweet shop.
So, yeah, they'd arrived much earlier and gone off somewhere else, so I don't know if his dad went back to the pub and saw the fella again. Yeah, well, no, he can't go again. He only get one chance. Sorry, that's just how it is. I can't recommend him again, sorry. No, they're not doing any more trials. They've got enough. They got like 15 players last time they did one. They got a brand new team. They all had some sweets, and now there's no more trials.
They're starting up Doncaster Rovers.
Two.
Yeah. Doncaster United as well. All the different team names.
Yeah, there's no more trials now. Sorry about that. So he says either my dad had given me the wrong time or it was duff information from whoever he was having a pint with. A little bit of naivety from Kevin there, I think.
Yeah, which is an endearing quality of his, but he never loses it, unfortunately.
As he says, whatever the mix-up, I was devastated and there was no invitation back.
Got it.
He then leaves school and gets a job in a company called Peglers, which is a brassworks in Doncaster. Mm. This is July 1966, and as he says, the country basking in the glory of England's World Cup triumph. Still only 15, and he was supposed to be an office clerk in their central stores. In reality, he was just the tea boy and the messenger. And he says it was certainly an eye-opener for a naive kid straight out of school to listen to all the factory girls when they started gossiping, and worst of all, plotting my initiation ceremony. I wonder what kind of gossip the factory girls... Fanny powder?
Fanny powder chat, yeah.
Fanny powder talk, wouldn't it? That would have been.
Air, sand, have you heard about that new fanny powder they're getting over from America? It's all the rage.
There's a shipment coming in at the docks next week, 3 a.m. I'm going down to get me some.
Terry from the pub said he could get us some.
Ronnie Footballs.
Ronnie Footballs,
he's going to get us some.
He drinks in the Fox and Hounds. He said he could get some on the cheap. Oh, apparently it does wonders for your fanny.
Oh, my fanny needs a lift. It needs perking right up. These 1960s are playing havoc with my fanny. All the liberation and everything.
All the sexual liberation's getting to me fanny. I need some of that fanny powder, but it's dead dear. Oh, not if you speak to Ronnie Footballs. You'll get it on the cheap.
Get down the docks. He's selling it in bags. He don't sell it in a box, he just sell it in bags for you.
Sells it in small bags. Some of the fellas are using it nowadays as well.
If you take your own paper bag down, he's got like a scoop and he just gets it out of the tub and he'll put it straight in your paper bag for you and he'll weigh it. You don't bother with any of the fancy packaging or anything.
That's how he keeps himself cost effective. As a young lad, I used to listen in on these conversations with starry-eyed wonderment. I had no idea what fanny powder were at the time, and still don't, if I'm honest. There was something in Germany, man, that Horst used to always offer up to me and the missus. So they called
in the
it
garage.
Frankenschnauzen. It was dead smoky, like a smoked sausage.
And he used to play Operation, but it wasn't like the Operation board game I used to know. We'd actually go into the garage and like he'd pick bits out of his body with the tweezers.
Ah, Herr Keegan, you're just in time for a Frankenschnauzen. Please, bitte sit down. And where is your beautiful wife? We put some aside for her and her as well.
We also have some safani powder we have imported from the United States.
I trust it is to your liking.
So he says they're gossiping and worst of all plotting my initiation ceremony.
Oh god,
wait until Christmas, they kept saying.
We're gonna bomb you, silly.
I asked the men in the office what they meant. Be careful, came the reply. At Christmas, they'll get you, strip you, and grease you all over.
Oh, God. Really?
Sounds all right.
Oh, no. Oh, well. In for a penny, in for a pound.
This was much, much more advanced to anything I was used to, because I'd never got any further than varicose veins being rested on me back.
But I knew I was an adult now, living in an adult's world, and I had to go along with literally whatever I was told to do.
I grabbed it with both hands. And the next line after the greasing bit, he says, it wasn't how I had envisaged my life panning out. As if that was something that he would have envisaged. The only games I was getting at the time was for a local youth club, Edfield House, on Saturday afternoons, and for the Lonsdale Hotel, a pub team in Doncaster Sunday League. My dream of playing professional football looked shot, and one of my new colleagues, Harry Holland... Yeah, it's Harry Holland, yeah.
Harry Holland.
Holland, yeah. asked if I fancied having a go with the Peglers workside on Saturday mornings. It wasn't even their first team.
Fucking
Peglers
hell.
Reserves.
Peglers Reserves.
Oh, it was Peglers again. It was a brassworks. So he's playing for the reserves at a brassworks. Yeah. It was the reserves on a sports ground that was about as flat as a Lynx golf course. I was given a tatty number 10 shirt, which was about three sizes too big for me. And though I did have a couple of runouts for the first team, that was only when somebody was injured. Fuck, it was always made clear I would be straight back in the reserves once everyone was fit again.
Who did they think they were?
Eight years later, he signed for Liverpool. He was playing in Liverpool's first team.
It was clearly a closed shop. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you get that all the time in football. I mean, I don't want to sound bitter, but, you know, at school, at primary school and secondary school, there's like a set of lads. Mm. They're usually mates.
Now
they're
it's coming
often,
out.
They're often matey with the head of PE or the PE, and it's a fucking closed shop.
Okay.
It's like England under Sven Goran Eriksson. It is. You know England under Sven Goran Eriksson, right?
Yeah.
No, look. Let me say for the record, there was no way I was good enough to even be in the B team at secondary school. Okay. I admit that. So I'm not bitter on my own behalf, but I did. I watched.
Did you stop me trying?
I played and I watched and I knew there was other players who deserved a chance and weren't getting it.
Yeah.
And at primary school, I reckon with injuries, I would have been at that smaller pool. I think I could have got at least a couple of runouts for the first team. Never got it. But, you know, England under Sven, you know, Beckham, Owen, Lampard, all these players, they got the nod, and it didn't matter what else you were doing day to day in the Premier League. Yeah. You weren't in the set. This was clearly going on at Pegler's, because Kevin Keegan, you can't tell me that a young Kevin Keegan was not good enough for the first team of a brass
Pegler's
works.
Was the Sven Goran Eriksson England of the Doncaster.
They probably had a fucking Swedish brass master.
Yeah,
they're well known for their brass mastery. So they'd probably
Harry Holland would have been a Swede.
They'd had to have shipped in Harry Holland and some other Swedes to run the brass works, and they also swiftly took control of the works team. And they had their little inner circle, and you could not penetrate it.
My name is Harry Holland.
I'm not from Harry Sweden. Holland. I'm not from Sweden. Well, why have you got that funny accent then?
It's from Holland.
Because I'm from Holland.
It's
fact,
my Holland
name,
accent.
And if you don't believe me, my name is actually Harry Holland. It is not Steve Sweden.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
But then my lucky break came for my pub team, Lonsdale Hotel, one Sunday morning in 1966 when we were playing a side called Woodfield Social, and I was fortunate enough to be marked by a guy named Bob Nellis.
Oh.
Significant. Bob once had trials for Doncaster Rovers, but he was in his late 30s by the time he came up against me and had piled on a few pounds since those days. He was too slow to keep up with me, and when he came over afterwards to shake my hand, he told me he'd never been given the runaround like that before.
Wow.
So something's happened. Something's clicked into place.
I don't know whether it was the arrowhead kicking in or that electric charge I had at birth, but something happened that day.
Perhaps a combination of the two.
That was the day the little old Kevin from Donny became Mighty Mouse.
You've got a man who had an electric charge surged through his body as a little baby, and then the arrowheads put into his body. Nothing could stop him after that. I was part human, part robot by that time. Bob Nellis had some contacts at Scunthorpe United, asked if I would be willing to go for a trial. Bob had a deal in place with the club. Well, that would make it worth his while if he could find them a player who was talented enough to sign apprentice forms. His prize? Well, Bob Nellis would only get 10 balls and some free kit for the pub team. So it was in Bob's. It was worth Bob's while to recommend Kev. He probably recommended fucking everyone.
Probably a local pisshead as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But then again, I do respect Bob, because a lot of older geezers, when a youngster turns up, especially a very small lad like Kevin was, and gives you the runaround, takes the piss. I mean, the rites of passage is you get a bloody big kick up the backside.
Yeah.
Don't never take the piss out of me like that again on the field. That's where you get a lot of that, don't you, in these sort of that level
you
of football.
You get that at the podcasting game as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of that goes on.
And so he could have done that. He could have bullied him. Could have said, you didn't show me enough respect. Instead, he said, I like what you did out there. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Well, a fantastic opportunity.
It cannot be denied. Partly that, but partly thought, oh, there could be 10 balls and some kit in this for me.
Oh, fucking hell, I could have balls coming out of my ears by Christmas.
Balls coming out of my balls.
I looked at that lad, and I didn't see a lad. I just saw a body made out of balls with another ball for a head. And even his balls were made of balls. And his willy.
They were amazing.
They were like three balls in a row. And then one ball each for your knackers, you know.
I could hardly contain myself. He says, Bob even took the trouble to drive me to Scunthorpe in his van. A van made of balls.
Get in my van. Ball man. I'll take you to Scunny, but I've got to stop by the docks on the way to pick up some fanny powder for the wife.
He says, after a series of trial matches, a cross-country run with the first-team squad and a car park game outside the old showground, that's where the trials will have been done,
the car park.
Car park game.
Right, you're the trialist. Get yourself in the car park.
Fucking pitch.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are?
Now, I'm going to throw a ball at you. I want to kick it. I want you to kick it through the window of that Austin Metro.
He says, after the trial, I was summoned by the manager, Ron Ashman, and given the news that changed my life. So he was taken on as a professional apprentice. Bob got his free balls, he says.
And everyone came out quitting.
Yeah. Having spent 3 months at Pegler's Brassworks learning about the world of taps, ball cocks and toilet fittings, I handed in my resignation to climb the first rung of the football ladder.
Up yours, Mr. Pegler.
Well, it doesn't go like that. It goes the other way. It didn't matter that my weekly wage, £4.10, was less than I'd been earning at Pegler's. Why would that bother me? I was a footballer at last. And nothing else mattered, even if Fred Leatherland, the factory floor boss, it's Fred Leatherland.
Fred from the Brassworks. Oh, I've got a side business in leather now. What? Are you sure? Yeah, my name's Fred Leatherland.
Yeah, I just sell raw leather down the docks. Just bring a bag along, I'll fill it with leather.
Scraps mainly. It's all misshapen. You'll have to cut it. Whatever shape you need, you have to do that bit yourself. I'm not going to be cutting it all up. That's extra.
I'm not a fucking seamstress. Fred Leatherland, the factory floor boss, told me he thought I was making a terrible mistake. Fred told me, as blunt as you like, that you'll not make the grade, lad, and followed up that confidence booster by saying I shouldn't waste my breath asking for my job back when it all went wrong. Fred Leatherland, you cunt.
What a cunt. Mr. Leatherland, I've got some marvellous news.
What is it, Mouse?
With regret, I have to hand in my notice because I've been offered a professional footballer contract by Scunthorpe United. I hope you wish me well. No, I will not, Kevin. I will not wish you well, you little shitbag. First of all, let me tell you something loud and clear. You will never make it. This will end in failure. And when it does, don't come and ask for your job back. Why not? I've always worked hard. I hate you, Kevin. I despise you with every inch of my body.
You had your chance at Pegler's and you blew it. You followed your dreams instead.
No one crosses Fred Leatherland twice.
They call me Fred One Chance Leatherland. And you've had your chance, now fuck off.
I fuck off and fail as a footballer.
You couldn't even bother to stick around till Christmas and get greased up.
Where?
You little weirdo.
Where was Fred Leatherland in 1970, whatever it was, when Kevin Keegan was accepting his second European Footballer of the Year award?
I wonder if we'll find out later in the book.
I fucking hope so.
I dedicated it to Fred Leatherland, the cunt.
I've never sworn in my life, apart from once. It was on the occasion that Pele awarded me with the European Footballer of the Year in 1978. I got up on that stage and I just couldn't help myself. I said, if you're watching Fred Leatherland, how do you feel now, you big fat cunt?
And I shouted, stupid cunt, as they dragged me off stage.
Pele were laughing his head off, but some of the Germans were right pissed off.
Because I said it in German.
Das eine Kunden.
I've got a horse to teach me cunt in German.
Friedrich Lieberlund. Das ist dein Kunden. Wo ist die now? What is you, Friedrich? All right. That's enough now, Kevin. Honestly, though, he told me I had a mouth for nothing. Look at me now, horse. Yes, I know, but come on. Enough is enough. It is a very special occasion.
Living well is the best revenge, Kevin. There's no need to be like this. So, dear me. So Kevin got his apprenticeship at Scunthorpe. He says it was 24 miles to Scunthorpe, and without a car of my own...
No problem at all for me.
I got up at 2 a.m, 25 minutes before I went to bed, without a car of my own and no Bob Nellis to give me a ride. Bob had gone. He just took his van load of balls and disappeared. Last time I saw him, he was down the dock selling balls. He says, I had to improvise. My routine was 6 a.m, rise, out of the house by 7 a.m, and then a walk across Doncaster to catch the Thorn bus. I might sometimes drop into the Couplands Cafe where I would get a drink and put on one of my favourite Motown records on the jukebox. The Dock of the Bay by Otis Redding, usually. That wasn't Motown. I think that was on Atlantic.
Yeah, I think that was. It was Atlantic, so.
What's his ghostwriter been doing
there? It's a little
here?
Bit racist, because it's like, you know, one of them black record labels, like Motown.
Dock of the Bay, Otis Redding, they all sound the same, don't they?
I bloody love them, though. Sitting in the morning sun,
waiting to go to Scunthorpe and be a big football star. Who do I think I am?
It probably won't end in failure. Oh, here's my boss. Sorry, I've got to go now. TTFN.
Stick it up your ass, Fred Leatherland.
I used to change all the words in my favourite Motown numbers
to abuse at Fred Leatherland. There was no direct bus, but I could jump off a few miles outside Scunthorpe and then I would hitchhike the rest of the way.
Every day?
Every day. He'd hitchhike part of the way between Doncaster and Scunthorpe. Nobody would dream of doing the same now. Exactly. No. You said, fucking what? But that was the norm in those days. It was never long before a milk van or lorry picked me up.
Jadon Sancho, for example, superstar footballer, currently plying his trade in the Bundesliga, a superstar English footballer, about the same age as Keegan might have been at this stage.
Probably never hitched a lift.
Jadon, we are very happy with your progress in the Borussia Dortmund first team. Many people are saying you are the most promising youngster in Europe. However, we are taking away your club car and there will be no transport provided. Plus, we are moving you to a house
24 miles
outside of Dortmund. We need you to get two buses, walk for several miles and then hitchhike the rest of the way, every day.
On your way there, there's a cafeteria. You must go in there and put some black music on.
We insist this of all our young players. Anything on either the Atlantic or Motown labels.
So he says, it was never long before a milk van or lorry picked me up.
He really ran the fucking gauntlet, didn't he, of 60s pedos.
Well, you know that thing about always give something back, always pay it forward when you get some good fortune, which is something I do as someone who like discovers medals and obstacle courses.
Yes,
I like
exactly. To, like, you live by that.
Yeah. He says, when I was able to afford my own car, I always felt I should do the same if I saw anyone thumbing it. Ooh. Or at least I did until I had a bad experience with a couple of lads near Keedby Bridge. One of them started smoking and put his feet on the dashboard.
What are you heckin' doing?
That's me dashboard! Get your feet down off me dashboard!
That's me only dashboard! Car, anyway.
What do you think me floor mats are for? Floor mats are for feet, not dashboards. One of them started smoking. What are you smoking?
What are you smoking for?
There's a sign up. No smoking. Super Kev's car.
Double K's lungs are pure as the driven snow.
I used to have croup when I was a kid till I realised it was a misdiagnosis. Can't smoke in me car.
That's a filthy heckin' habit.
He says they started getting aggressive.
Oh.
Fuck off, Grandad.
Hey, no need for that kind of bucket mouthing in Double K's car.
Just take us to where we're going.
I put my feet where I want, you permed twat. Oh, that's just downright mean.
They start getting aggressive. I was relieved to get rid of them without it getting really unpleasant. That experience put me off picking up strangers for life. Oh, quite right as well.
I've been in cars that have picked up hitchhikers.
Have you?
But I have never personally picked up hitchhikers. But, you know, in my defence, you never see them. But
very
not
rarely.
In my defence, if I did see them, I would also not pick them up.
Yeah, I'll try and run them over, if anything.
But you also, you get scam hitchhikers.
Do you?
My dad told me a story that he reckoned he was driving along once, and there was a bloke lying in a rural area, and there was a bloke lying in a ditch, sort of an oldish man.
Right.
And he looked in distress, so my dad stopped and said, "Are you all right?"
Yeah.
And he said, no, I've twisted my ankle or something. And he goes, and it was before mobile phones, and he said, I just need to get to a telephone and call my daughter.
I'm in a ditch.
And so he said, well, there's no telephone here. He goes, can you give me a lift? And my dad ended up driving him back and letting him into his flat. I know this sounds like an excuse for a homosexual encounter, but I'm pretty sure my dad's missus was with him, his second wife. And he said that in the end, he said that he couldn't get in touch with his daughter. And actually, my dad's house was it was an inconvenience that they'd gone there because it was really out of his way. And so he asked him for like 20 quid for like fares and things to get home. Yeah, no, he asked my dad 20 quid.
So your dad had took him to his flat, but this was inconveniencing the fella. And then
my dad gave him 20 quid,
right.
And he basically to fuck off.
Yeah.
And then it's always rankled with my dad ever since. I mean, my dad's brought this up to me a few times, like always, as if it's the first time he's brought it up.
Yeah.
He'll do that with most of his stories. Yes, a man scammed me once, lying in a ditch when I was on the way back from my mother's.
It was scam.
And I was like, oh, no. I'm always like, not this again. But I'm polite. So I go, oh, really? And I can tell it's really fucking rankled with him.
Yeah. He might bring it up in court one day when he's defending himself.
Well, he'd probably want to hunt that man down and take him to court. Yeah.
That's all we got time for in this episode of the Keegan Odyssey. It ended on a quite bizarre tale, but mention of court cases leads us to our theme song of the theme from Crown Court.
Yeah,
which I know.
Does
you
this
all
end
enjoy.
With Crown Court?
Everything
as well.
Ends with Crown Court.
Shouldn't we be ending this with Head Over Heels in Love?
Copyright reasons. I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to start getting into that. So we'll be back next week with part 5 of the Keegan Odyssey. We are now 9%.
Into the
book after fucking 4 episodes. This is going to go to 50 episodes. We need to be more diligent and
actually talk about the book a bit more, not about my dad's unfortunate hitchhiker encounters.
Probably right, Sam, yeah. Anyway, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.